Okay, we're on page 994, Pasuk Yud Gimel. We started the Pasuk last week a little bit. This is the second paragraph of Shema. So obviously there's a lot to talk about. Okay, the Pasuk says, V'hoyeim Shomaya Tishmu. It will be, if you listen to my mitzvah, Sashonechi Mitzav Eschem Ayem, that I'm commanding you, which is the mitzvah, La'ava Sashom Alakeichem, to love God, to love thee, and to serve Him, b'chol levavchem, b'chol nafshchem, with all your heart and whole, or your soul. So there's a number of issues already. Number one, the Arachayim HaKadosh writes, what's this expression, v'hoya im shamaya tishmu? The Gemara says, the word v'hoya is simcha. It is v'hoya kisavim. When the Torah says the word v'hoya, it refers to simcha. Now, he says, what is the real simcha? When you have a mitzvah. When tishma, mitzvah, say, when you listen to the mitzvahs, then that's the real joy, because that's the joy that connects a person to Hashem, which makes you break your barriers and boundaries, and so on and so forth. Now Rashi comments, what does it mean, im shemaya tishmu? What's the double expression, if you will listen? So he says like this. Rashi says, from the Gemara, im tishma b'yoshan, if you hear the old laws, you're going to hear the new ones. Meaning, if you review the old mitzvahs, the old things that you learned, then you'll be able to learn the new ones. But if you forget what you learned because you don't review it, then you're going to forget everything. And that's the double expression, Maya Tishmu, doesn't only mean hearing, it means understanding also. So he says, when you understand what Hashem wants you to do, so then you have the double expression, the past and the future, so then you'll be okay.
Rabbeinu, what?
What?
What do you mean, new one? All the laws are...
No, I'm saying, well, we'll soon see it in 2 seconds. But, first of all, it means, if you review the old things you learned, then the new things will be with you. If you don't bother reviewing the old things, then you're going to forget everything. In other words, you always need to constantly review and refresh and continue learning more. Then you'll have a complete thing. But if a person learns and doesn't review, they're going to forget it. And if they forget it, then they don't have it. And that will be continuously going on like that. Now, what does it say? Yeah? What does it mean, hayayim? And here there's a few interesting interpretations. Rashi says, hayayim, that every day has to be brand new. And I'll explain in a second what that means. That's very difficult, by the way. But there's another interpretation that some of Farshim have a very interesting concept. They say, means you can only do it today. Tomorrow you can't do it. What does this mean? Similar to what the Mishnah says, you have to do tshuva one day before you die. So what do you mean you have to do tshuva one day before you die? You don't know when you're going to die. So Mishnah basically is saying you always have to do tshuva. That's what Mishnah, you always have to do tshuva because you don't know when you're going to die. He says a person shouldn't think, you know what, I'll do the mitzvah tomorrow. Because how do you know you'll be here tomorrow? Well, people that push off things for the procrastinators, they're called. People that push things off for the next day, how do you know you're going to be there? The Torah says, you have to do it today, because tomorrow you might not be here. That's an interesting point of what the commentary says. But another interpretation over here, what Rashi says, and that's a more difficult concept, that every day Torah has to be brand new. It's like you ever see a boy the first day he puts on tefillin, he's all excited, and the first time you do a mitzvah, you're all excited. It says that's the excitement you need to do every time you do a mitzvah. Like every time you put on tefillin 50 years later, you should do it with the same enthusiasm and excitement that you did it the first time. You light Shabbos candles, you light it with the same enthusiasm that you lit it the first time. So the question, how could that be? But the fact is, it's 3,500 years old. If a person's 70 years old, they're doing it for 70 years, how can you say it's brand new? But that's why the Pasuk says, Asher Anechi Mitzav Eschem. Anechi refers to the essence of Hashem, which is above time and place. When a person does it because Hashem told them to do it, then they're automatically connecting themselves to a level high, above time and place, higher than time and place. This that, you know, past is past and present is present, future is future, is only in time. But haya, hayva, v'yia, ke'echod, past, present, and future together, that's above time. And that's what the Torah is saying, and that's what Rashi says. Ki'ilu shemaitim be'yim. You have to do it as if you heard it today. You have to make it as exciting as if you do it today. How? The chepet, you did it already 10 years. You have to put yourself in a situation of connection with Hashem, which is above time and place. Which is, by the way, very difficult to do, but that's the goal that the Jew needs to do. Every time you do a mitzvah, it has to be like brand new. And then he says, what is the mitzvah? To love Hashem, ul'avdein, to serve Him, b'chol levavchem, u'b'chol nafshichem. So Rashi right away asks, in the first paragraph of Shema, it already says, you have to say Shema kacho b'chol levavcho, u'b'chol nafshicho. Yeah, but it's interesting, we'll soon see. Over there it says, b'chol ma'idecho, and here it doesn't. But before we get to that, so Rashi says, first Hashem is speaking to individuals, b'chol levavcho, b'chol nafshicho, singular, and now Hashem is speaking to the masses, b'chol levavchem, u'b'chol nafshichem. And the commentary is, before we go into the real deep explanation why it doesn't say b'chol me'idchem, Rashi said before, what is the definition of b'chol me'idecha? Rashi says, one interpretation, with all your money. Some people love their money more than themselves, and some people love themselves more than their money. So the Torah says, you have to love God, even if you love money more than yourself, you have to serve God with your money. Okay. But the Mefarshim explained that can't apply to a tzibur. A community, generally speaking, most people like themselves more than the money. You'll have a few individuals that will like the money better than themselves. So when the Torah is speaking about individuals, then the Torah say b'chol me'edecha, because there are people that their money is more precious to them than their life. By the way, everybody laughs at the Jack Benny, you know, everybody. The truth is, every person is guilty of this. Because people are workaholics to make money, and they forget about themselves, they forget about their family, they forget about their kids, they forget about everything, because they're interested in making a lot of money. I'm not talking even to make barely a living. I'm talking people that have money. But they're working so much to make more money, more money, and instead they're giving up their family time and this time and every. So those people, you should know, are loving their money more than themselves. They're working the whole life and then they drop dead, pardon the expression, and then what did they do with all their money? They didn't even use the money. They're so busy making money, they don't even have time to enjoy the money they make. So that's why the Mefarshim explained, by an individual, you're going to have b'chol me'edecha, because there are people that love their money more than themselves. Majority of people are not like that. The majority of people love themselves more than the money. So over here, when the Torah is speaking plural, it doesn't say b'chol me'edchem. Okay? But there's a deeper explanation of why here it doesn't say b'chol me'edchem. And over there in the first parasha Shema, when it's speaking singular, it does. And there's a lot of repetition between the first parasha of Shema and V'hoyim Shema, where you say three times a day in davening, right? So there is this, a lot of repetition between the two parashas. But the Gemara says in Brachos that the first parasha of Shema, the Gemara says, Eisin Ritzayne Shemokim, they do the will of God. The second parasha says, what does the second parasha say? If you listen, then I'll give you rain and... And if you don't listen, you get nothing. I'm going to take away everything. So the Gemara says, the second parsha of Shema, this parsha, is Ein Eisen Ritzayin Neshamokim. They're not doing the will of God, therefore Hashem can punish them, no rain, and so on. In a deeper sense, why is it like that? We discussed many times in the past that serving God is only when you break your nature. When you break your nature, remember we learned the Gemara says the difference between one who serves God and one who doesn't serve God. You learn the Gemara 100 times, you call it not serving God because that was your nature. You learn it 101 times, it's called serving God because you're breaking your nature. What does that mean? In order for a finite person to reach the infinite God, you cannot do it within the realm of your nature. Let's mention this Shabbos also a little bit. You can do it with nature. Because nature is limited, you will never reach the unlimited God. The only way a person can reach the unlimited God is when they go above and beyond their nature. So even though that itself is limited, like instead of learning 10 minutes a day, you learn 11 minutes a day, and you break your nature, it's still 11 minutes a day. But conceptually, you went out of your limitation. You broke your nature. You went out of your limitation. You reached the infinite. As much as it's possible for a person to reach infinite.
You have to
add... The only way a person who's limited to reach infinite, so to speak, is when you go out of yourself, when you break your nature. Which is the concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim that we learned through it. Now, B'chom Meidecha is not only defined all your money, all your might. Ma'id is when you go above and beyond yourself. When you go above and beyond, you break your nature, that's called B'chol Ma'idecha. B'chol Levavcha, B'chol Nafshecha, B'chol Ma'idecha is the Nefesh Habamis, the Yetzahara, the Nefesh Olikis, and then you go to go above and beyond your nature. That is the definition of B'chol Ma'idecha. That concept is called doing the will of Hashem. When you don't have b'chol eidach, you can have God b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. You can have b'chol levavchem b'chol nafshechem. But if you're missing out b'chol meidchem, then you're not doing the will of God. You're like loy avodah, you're called not serving God. You're learning, you're doing everything good. But it's your nature, you're not breaking your nature. So then you only have that limited amount. And therefore, b'chol meidach really can only be by an individual. You can have a community changing their nature. Changing their nature is a personal, individual thing. For one person, learning 11 minutes a day is breaking their nature. For another person who learns 5 hours a day, learning 11 minutes a day is not going to do it. Right? You need to break your nature. That breaking your nature is only possible, really, by an individual. And therefore, here in the first parsha of Shema, it says b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, u'v'chol meidecha, because that's possible by an individual. B'chol meidchem, it can't apply because it doesn't apply to an individual, to a public, because every person is different in the way they're serving Hashem. So therefore, the Gemara says that this second parsha of Shema is called Ein Eisen Ritzayin Yishomakim. They're not doing the will of Hashem because they're not reaching that level. Because it's speaking completely in the plural. It's similar to what it's brought down in Hayom Yom, the Rebbe brings down that when two Jews meet, it's two godly souls against one animal soul. Two Yetzer Tevs against one Yetzer Hara. So the question is why? I have a Yetzer, you have a Yetzer Hara, I have a godly, you have a Yetzer. So why? It should be two against two. Why is it two godly souls against one animal soul? And the answer is, because what my Yetzer Hara wants is not what you want. Every Yetzer Tov basically wants to do mitzvahs. That's what it wants, to serve Hashem. But my Yetzer Hara has a different temptation than your Yetzer Hara. Everybody has a different Yetzer Hara. So when two Jews meet, it says, both Yetzer Tovs, or Nefesh Olikis, gang up against each individual Yetzer Hara, because there's no unity in the Yetzer Haras. Because your Yetzer Hara is not like mine, and mine's not like yours. But both Nefesh Olikis wants the same thing. So they're ganging up against mine individually and against yours individually. But this whole concept of Vachol Me'idchem cannot exist by a community, because if you define Vachol Me'idecha, breaking your nature, going out Me'id, is an expression of like unlimited, that can only be by an individual who can break his nature. But that's why this parsha, like we said, the Gemara says in Brachas, it's called Ein Eisen, they're not doing the will of God.
So this is the reason that they get the punishment?
Yeah, because they're not serving Hashem properly. But
an individual, yes, could break his nature, but all of a sudden, How could a tzaddik represent you? He's already in a higher level.
No, we learned this many times. How does a tzaddik have choice between good and bad if he has no yetzer hara?
Choice between good and good?
Between good and better. Mm-hmm. Tzaddik's choice is between good and better. And good compared to better is bad. So if a tzaddik chooses good instead of better, on his level, he sinned. That should be our problem. I don't know about you, my problem for sure. That should be my problem. But the tzaddik who has no yetzer hara, so obviously he has no desire to eat treif and to do this and to do that. I mean, he has no yetzer hara, right? The Gemara says, "Ein lo yetzer hara ki hara gubetainis." The Gemara says, right? So, how does he have free choice? He also has to have free choice. If not, what's he doing? It's between good and better. And in fact, when it says b'chol levavchem, it could have said b'chol lipchem. Mm. Right? But like it says in the first, b'chol levavcha, the Gemara says in Brachos also, b'shnei yitzarach, with the yetzer tov and the yetzer hara. So the tzaddik, the ultimate tzaddik, the tzaddik gomor, as the Gemara calls him, or the Zohar calls him tzaddik v'tovloi, which is the same thing really, but the Gemara says, a tzaddik gomor is not only one who kills the yetzer hara, but transforms it to kedusha. Correct.
There is no way.
So a tzaddik has to. Let me ask you a question. Okay, you always have to break your nature, yeah? You have to learn more. Okay. What do you do when you get to 24 hours a day, non-stop learning? No eating, no sleeping, no. You're just learning. How can you improve over that?
No time.
Learning with Kavana.
So it's not in the quantity, obviously not, but in the quality of time. How you spend your time. Success in time. Utilizing time to the fullest. That you can always improve. The tzaddik desires to improve more than we do. I said, what's really remarkable, you have people come to Shon Yom Kippur. You have all types of people coming. Datiyim, lo datiyim, charedim, no charedim, this charedim, that. Outwardly, who does the most tshuva on Yom Kippur? The more religious the person is, those are the guys that are crying more on Yom Kippur. They're davening with, right? The sinners the whole year should be crying. They sin the whole year. The tzaddik doesn't sin, yet the tzaddik is the one, you know, the tzaddik of davening Yom Kippur. Why? Because their level, they understand what it means to do something wrong. Even to be lacking. Chet does not only mean sin, it means chisod and lacking something. There's a pasuk Shlomo HaMelech says, I mean David HaMelech said, V'hoya ani ubni shloime chatoim kol hayomim. It's a melech that David HaMelech says, me and my son Shlomo will be missing. The Mephoshim say chatoim doesn't mean sinning. It means chatoim means will be lacking. Chet miloshin chisodin. So, the Mephoshim over there in Melachim Tait, define it. So there's a concept of the person lacking, and always they have to get better. Even Meshur Rabbeinu said, "Vato Chasreil Ma'at Melekim." He was still missing, as great as he was, he was still missing a little bit. He had to still become better. But there are different stages. Like for instance, the Gemara said, which is interesting, by Avraham Avinu, we say in davening, Vayivarach David, at the end, he said, Umatzasa es levavo neman lefanecha. Right? It doesn't say, Umatzasa es libo neman lefanecha. Levavo. Yeah? By David HaMelech, it says, Libi cholol bekirbi. The pasuk in Tillim. Libi cholol bekirbi, my heart is hollow within me. And again, the Gemara says, what does it mean, my heart is hollow within me? En lo yetzahara ki horgu betaynes. Okay? So, Avraham Avinu, in other words, like this, incomplete tzaddik is not one that doesn't sin. One that doesn't sin is called a beinoni. Never sins, not in thought, not in speech, not in action. He's a beinoni.
Even in thought?
Never sins in thought.
No, but I put it, you have thought, but he doesn't do it,
no? No.
Benini does everything. Huh?
Benini doesn't do nothing.
Like middle of people did something in middle, they do everything.
No, you're 50-50.
Yeah.
No. The real definition of a Benini is one who never sins. Because the Gemara says once you sin once, you're a Rasha.
What's the difference?
Difference between a Tzaddik and a Benini? Yeah. Don't worry, we're not Beninis either.
Yeah.
A Benini, there's three levels, okay? I'm not talking about the Rashas that sin. In people that don't sin, not in thought, not in speech, not in action, okay? Because Gemara says, "Hamaharid beratzein." If you willingly think an evil thought, you're called a Rasha. That's what the Gemara says. Okay. Now, but we'll leave that out. Okay. Now you have a Beinani that doesn't sin at all, not in thought, not in speech, and not in action. Which means, but he has the Yetzer Hara. But the second the Yetzer Hara pumps an evil thought into his mind, he right away gets rid of it.
No, he has a thought.
Huh? Yeah, but he doesn't call it in. He doesn't invite it in.
Okay, but
he has because he has the Yetzer Hara. But the second the thought comes into him, how do you get rid of it? Thinking a good thought. Okay. You can't think. But the Beinani, the second he's aware that he has an evil thought, he gets rid of it. But he has a Yetzer Hara. Then you have a Tzaddik She'eino Gomor. Now this is the Gemara says. Tzaddik She'eino Gomor means he killed the Yetzer Hara. She'eino Yetzer Hara. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk by David HaMelech, Libi cholol b'kibbi, my heart is hollow within me, She'eino Yetzer Hara, ki gohorig b'tainus. He killed it by fasting and everything he did.
What's the difference?
But once that's it.
Is the same?
One no. Tzaddik She'eino Gomor does not have a Yetzer Hara. A Beinani has a Yetzer Hara, he doesn't listen to it. The Tzaddik She'eino Gomor doesn't have a Yetzer Hara, he killed it.
Doesn't have it means it's not come to.
No, it doesn't exist. No, he didn't go to sleep. Beinani, when he davens, the Yetzer Hara goes to sleep. He gets finished his davening, Yetzer Hara wakes up.
Back,
yeah. Don't worry. He wakes up very strong. The Tzaddik She'eino Gomor has no Yetzer Hara. So what? Why isn't he a Tzaddik Gomor? What's the definition of a Tzaddik Gomor? Definition of a Tzaddik Gomor is that it says here, B'chol Levavchem. Not only does he kill the Yetzer Hara, but he transforms the Yetzer Hara to be a Yetzer Tov. That's it. V'avta says, Shem HaKachol B'chol Levavcha, B'shnei Yitzrecha. Right, Rashi says in the Gemara. What do you mean? You should love God with all your heart. Meaning with both Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. What does it mean, love Hashem with Yetzer Hara? The Tzaddik Gomor worked on himself to such an extent that first he kills the Yetzer Hara, and then he transforms the Yetzer Hara to becoming a Yetzer Tov.
Yeah, but do you have this facility? You born with it?
This ability to be a Tzaddik, you have to be born with.
You have to be born with it?
Yeah. A Beinani, everybody could be, because that every person doesn't have to sin. Right? So this v'chol levavchem, or singular, v'chol levavcha, refers to the Ava, that even the Nefesh Abamis, even the Yetzer Hara, also loves Hashem. And that's why he's a Tzaddik Gomor. Tzaddik She'eino Gomor means he gets rid of it, but it doesn't, it's not working with you. Now you get... And by the way, this explains an interesting thing. There's a pasuk, wherever in Tanakh, in Nach, Rav Tvuas B'Koyach Shor. It's a pasuk that says, if you want to get a Rav Tvuas, you want to get a lot of Tvua, a lot of grain in a field, don't use a person. Use B'Koyach Shor. With an ox, you're going to, an ox plows a field, better worker than a person. Okay, so simply the pasuk is telling me advice in agriculture. Simply tell me a lesson out. You want it for a farmer. You're a farmer. Let me tell you something. Don't use a person to plow the field. Use an animal. I mean, I need a pasuk for that. I mean, every farmer understands that. You know, and what's the pasuk telling us? So it's explained like this: the shirt represents the Nefesh HaBahamis, the animal soul, which comes from the shore that's on the Merkava of Yecheskel. There's Pnei Shor, Pnei Ari, Pnei Rasher, right? So there's the shor is the spiritual source for the Yetzirah. That's what it says in Kabbalah. The shor of the Merkava is the source of the Nefesh HaBaham, is Behemah. No, that's okay. What the Pasuk is teaching us is an unbelievable thing. The difference between Adam and Behemah, Adam, yesh le das, person has das. Behemah, ein lo das. Behemah has no das. Because of that, seichel, intellect, and midas contradict each other. You ever see somebody gets very, very excited, emotional? What do you tell them? In English, you say cool it. Cool down. How do you cool down? How do you cool down? Use your brain and calm down the emotions. Seichel cools off midas. Right? If I love you, but at the same time, I understand 1 minute, but I come first. Maybe I love you, but I'm first. Yeah? Behemoth, en lo das, the midah of a behemoth is much stronger than the midah of a person.
Duck, like duck.
Like love, an animal love, is stronger than a person's love. Why? Because seichel automatically cools down the midah of Ava, or Yid, or whatever it may be. Behemah, who has no das, no seichel, so their midah is a true, pure midah of Ava. So I'm not saying what it loves, or what, just looking at the midah. Ava of an animal is stronger than the Ava of a person. Now, if you love God with your godly soul, with the Nefesh HaKis that's called Adam, versus Behemah, the Ahava, just the Midah, not what you love, the attribute of Ahava, of the Nefesh HaKis, which is a person, is not as strong as the Midah of Ahava, of the Nefesh HaMamis.
Huh? You can see with a dog.
With a dog, because they have no seichel. It's all instinct. So the Pasuk says like this, Rav Tvuis Bekerach Sher. If you want to get the ultimate level of Avas Hashem, it's when the Kerach of the Sher, when the Sher, the Nefesh HaBamis, loves Elokus, that's a much stronger love than the love of the godly soul. And that's what the Pasuk says, Lavas Hashem alakechem ul'avdei, b'chol levavchem, b'chol nafshichem. B'chol levavchem, b'shnei yitzarech, with the yitzatev yitzahara, and b'chol nafshichem is the nefshul akis, the godly soul. So this is the advantage of the tzadik gomor, who not only kills the yitzahara, that it doesn't get in his way, it doesn't even cause him to think anything bad, but when you transform the Nefesh HaBamis to Nefesh HaKis, it's much greater. And you have that, by the way, in the battle, in battles. Because this is a battle between Nefesh HaKis and Nefesh HaBamis. In war, there's two ways you can fight the enemy. One way is you destroy the enemy. Mm-hmm. But then the enemy runs away. You can always come back. The ultimate victory in war is when your enemy becomes on your side. As David HaMelech says, Gam Eivav Yashlim Imay. Even his enemies become one with him. Like the Medrash says, that even the men of Avshalom that fought against David HaMelech became David's friends. That's the ultimate level. And that's the avodah of b'chol levavchem and b'chol nafshichem.
B'chol levavchem is more stronger than b'chol nafshichem.
Levavchem represents the yetzer and yetzer tov, and b'chol nafshichem is a higher level of love only of the nefesh, the neshama, the godly soul. B'chol ma'idecha, that doesn't say here, that refers to the even a higher level of the love going above and beyond your nature. Meaning, not only to change your bad nature. You know, we are born with bad midas. You know, you look at kids, they're born. They're selfish, they're self-centered. You have to teach them to share, to be good. People by nature have bad midas. So, like Mussar teaches us how to change our bad midas. If you have anger, how to work on yourself. You have lashon hara, to work on yourself. Gava, to work yourself. But then there's another step, that even the good midas you do, the good things you do, to make it more, that it shouldn't just be natural. That's an additional thing. Not only changing the bad midas to good, but changing the good midas into better. And that's b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha. Okay, then he says like this. Now, the simple meaning, when it says, to do the mitzvahs that I'm commanding you today, what am I telling you? La'avas Hashem alakechem. So the Mefarshim explained, what is the pasuk teaching us? Simply it means, don't serve God for reward. Serve God because you love Him. Why are you doing it? Li'avas Hashem, because you love Him. You're not looking for reward. Like it says, the Shaleya Manas, the Kabul Pras. You're not doing it for the sake of reward. You're doing it because
you love
Hashem. Okay, there's also another thing over here. Well, of the b'chol levavchem, I don't want to remember this because it's machlekes. What pasuk you learn out from? How do you serve God with all your heart?
You're not selfish.
No, I'm saying, but that you serve with your hands. But the Gemara says, "Eiza aveda shebelev zutfila." The Gemara says, "What is the aveda of the heart? That's prayer." Because davening is not saying the words. Davening is the kavana of the heart, transforming your heart, making yourself better.
If you say verbally, it works. Tefillah is verbally. If you say verbally,
But sometimes people daven, they don't even remember if they daven.
Yeah,
that's how much kavana they had. Because the ultimate level of levavchem is the heart, meaning tefillah, the kavana of tefillah. I'll explain in a minute what that means.
But most of the time, when you daven, you ask for yourself something.
So but that's not what that's. You know what? That's tefillah of requests. You're talking about avoidas hatfila. You know, it's interesting. When Chazal say things, expressions, it's exact. It's Torah, right? You don't have, in all of Chazal, you have limud hatorah and avoidas hatfila. It doesn't say avoidas hatorah. It says limud hatorah and avoidas hatfila. All of Chazal, all over Rambam, Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, Chassidus, Moser. It always speaks about limud ha-Torah and avodas ha-Tefillah. Okay? Torah you learn, davening is work. It doesn't say avodas ha-Torah. Okay? What's the difference between avodas ha-Torah and limud ha-Torah and all that? Limud ha-Torah, and by the way, it's another issue, because what does the word Tefillah mean? In English, tefillah is translative prayer. The Hebrew word for prayer is bakasha. Not prayer. Not tefillah. Tefillah comes from the word, there's a mafashim of Siddur explain. Tefillah has a lot of meanings, but two general ones I want to bring out. One is tefillah comes from the word lefalel, which means to judge. And they call psukim that palel means to judge. Davening is the time of judging yourself. And Hashem's judging you. In other words, we're coming to Hashem and saying, like you said, A, B, C, I want everything good, you know, health, wealth, happiness, you name it, and all that. So it's the time for a person to judge himself. Am I worthy of asking for it? And it's the time we're being judged by Hashem. You're asking for it. Do you deserve it? Yeah?
Yeah. This is not judge. We're asking God to give us.
No. But it's a time of judgment for ourselves internally to make a cheshbon. I'm coming to God to ask Him for all these things. Do I really deserve it? That's one definition of tefillah. Another interpretation of tefillah is like we had a few weeks ago, Naftali Elikim Niftalti. Rashi says Naftali, which is the root of tefillah, the word tefillah. Naftali comes, Rashi says, Miloshin Chibur. There's a Mishnah that says, Hatefel Klicheres. Tefel with a tuff. Hatefel Klicheres means if you glued an earthenware vessel broken, if you glued it about Tumef, whatever. Yeah? So Tefel means to connect. Tefillah is a time of connection between the Jew and God. It's a time of judgment. But it's more so, and this is where Avodas HaTefillah. The word Avodah we learned many, many times. The root Eved, yeah, La'avda Eved, is from the word Ma'abed, tanning hides. One of the Lamedes Melachos is Ma'abed. Ibud Oiris, with an ayin. Ibud Oiris means tanning the leather. What does that mean? When you shecht an animal, you kill an animal, you take off the, you want to make the hide, the skin of the animal, it's coarse, it's thick, it's dirty, it's, what do you got to do? You have to tan it. In English it's called not taking a suntan. You have to tan the hide. Yeah? What does tanning the hide mean? You don't have everything's machine. What did they do? They used to take big forks, you know, those pitchforks, and they would work it and so to speak, torture the hide, and that refine the hide that you can use it for leather, for parchment, for whatever you needed to use. Avoid the satfila, and that's why it says, Ula Ovde Bukholavaf, and the Gemara says, what is Aveda? Eiz Aveda Shebelev Zu Tfila. Ibud means, davening is not the time of gaining knowledge. It's the time of working with oneself to refine ourselves better. To make ourselves better. And that's the conflict we said, Eved, changing your nature. If you enjoy it, it's not Eved. Okay? When somebody says, I slaved in the kitchen, it's because they hate it. If they love being in the kitchen, you don't say, I slaved in the kitchen all day. Because they love it. It's not slave. Slave is when you do something that you don't enjoy doing. Meaning you work with yourself, break your nature, like we said before. Avaydah satfila, ola'avdeh b'chol levavchem, is the avaydah actually of working with one's yetzahara to refine it, to make it good. And that's the avaydah of Tefillah, not the Aved of Torah. Torah itself gives knowledge. With limit of Torah, you learn Torah, you get smarter. What's wrong with that? By itself? The problem with that is, the more you know, the more ego you have. It's more me. I'm a better...
Everybody knows the Torah by heart, but don't do anything. Don't eat kosher, don't do nothing.
I understand.
So it doesn't mean
because that Torah didn't change them. But that's why the din is. First, you have to go. The Gemara says also in brachas. All this Gemara davening is in brachas. You have to go mi beis ha knesses le beis ha medrash, and then it says hanig ba minig derechas. Then go into business. The Gemara says, what's the day of the Jew supposed to be like? You go from Beis HaKnesset, where you daven, then you go to Beis HaMedrash to learn, and then you go Hanig Bamin, then you go into the business world. Then you go into the, you're safe, because you have davening and learning, you'll be safe from the evil forces in the world. But first you have to go daven, and then you have to go learn. Or to rephrase it, something we discussed a long time ago, the Gemara says in the Dorim, "Mipnei Machor v'Haaretz." Why was Eretz Yisrael destroyed? "Mipnei Machor v'Haaretz." Why was Eretz Yisrael destroyed? And it says, "Shlei Berchu b'Teira Tchila." They didn't say bracha before they learned. They didn't do Berchat Torah before they learned. Huh? No, no, they didn't do the brachas for tefillah. I mean, Asher Bracha Banu, they didn't say those brachas. It's not davening, that's Birchas HaTorah, it's a bit mitzvah. So Rabbeinu Yoina, who's a Rishon, Rabbeinu Yoina says, what does the Gemara mean? He asks like this, if I put on tefillin without the bracha, I still did the mitzvah. If I do Hanukkah candles without the bracha, I still did the mitzvah. If I light Shabbos candles without the bracha, I still did the mitzvah.
mitzvah.
Huh?
If I put the tefillin with a bracha.
Without a bracha, you still did the mitzvah. Yeah. I mean, you didn't have the bracha, but the mitzvah of tefillin you did 100%. So he asks, it doesn't say they didn't learn. It would make sense. If they didn't learn, Eretz Yisrael was destroyed. But it doesn't say they didn't learn. It said they didn't say the bracha before learning. So what's the big deal? But they learned. Isn't that what matters? So Rabbeinu Yoin explains, no, it does matter by learning. Why? Because what's the bracha? Baruch atah Hashem, nosein ha-Torah. When somebody learns, they need to realize it's God's Torah. And that causes the humility, the bittul, when you learn Torah. Which is similar to the concept of davening. It says in davening, the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch, what is a person supposed to think before davening? It says, there's a chiyuv. In the Shulchan Aruch says like this, before davening you have a chiyuv l'izbeinein, to meditate, into shiftless ha'adam, the godless ha'kel. The lowness of man and the greatness of God. The lowness of man and the greatness of God causes humility. That's the concept of Birchas HaTorah, really. When a person realizes it's God's Torah, therefore they think like this. How can my mind, which is limited, understand God's infinite wisdom? So the truth is, even what I understand is nothing compared to what it really means. That causes humility in learning, not gaava in learning. So that's why you have the concept of tefillah, which is the judgment, and more so the gluing, the connection to Hashem. That's why it's called avoidas ha-tefillah, because it has to be ibud oidas. The whole concept of davening, by the way, the mitzvah of davening is like you say, you have a request, there's a biblical mitzvah to daven to Hashem. Okay? That's what the Rambam holds. The davening itself is only a mitzvah min ha-Torah, yeah? If you have a particular need, then Hashem says you have a biblical mitzvah to daven. But this that we daven three times a day is rabbinic. And we say the same thing. The Ramban disagrees. It's a whole machlekes. It depends. Based on that, if women have to daven, if they don't have to daven, mincha, whatever it is. It's a big argument in halacha, in Rishonim, Akreinim, Shulchan Aruch, the various opinions. One second. So, davening is the mitzvah of davening. There's two things. There's the mitzvah of davening. You have a need, daven to Hashem for your needs. But then there's what's called avodas ha-tefillah. Avodas ha-tefillah is working and refining the nefesh ha-bamis. That's the second aspect of davening. There's the mitzvah of tefillah. You have a need, you daven to Hashem. But that's not avodas ha-tefillah. Avodas ha-tefillah is when somebody works. The better their personality, refine their body and animal soul to make them much, much better, and then you become tefillah, which is closer to Hashem, connection to Hashem. That's what davening is. And therefore, ula avdei b'chol levavchem is actually the concept of tefillah, because you're refining your nefesh yetzahara and the body. What did you want to?
We have avodah, tefillah, and Torah.
Torah, very good. Yeah.
So, which one we should have started? You should have started with Avodah, Tefillah, Torah, or which one is, what's the...
All three together.
Together, or...
All three together. You give tzedakah before say, davening, then you daven, then you go learn.
Now you say you should have started with Tefillah.
No,
there's something...
You need all... Each one has an advantage. These are the three pillars that the world stands on.
Yeah.
So you have the Avodah of Torah. Mm-hmm. But first, if you know the halachically the order, the Gemara says Rabbi Lazar gave a pruta la'ani, he gave a then he davened, and then you have davening, and then you go learning. That's the ideal situation. So. Tzedakah is a preparation for davening. Why? It's also very interesting. Why? It says why should a person give tzedakah before davening? It's very simple. Over there, he quoted the pasuk Rabbi Lozer. The Gemara in Bava Basra. Gemara says Rabbi Lozer Yarf Pruta La'ani Vadimatzna. Shenamar pasuk in Tilim. Ani Betzadek Echse Panecha. Simply mean I with tzedakah will see your face. Okay. What's the explanation of tzedakah before davening? It's again the same concept. When I come to ask Hashem, okay, let's put it this way. We learned this in the past. A worker works, puts in the hours, no monkey business, no internet, no. He works, he comes to the boss and says, can you please pay me? Is he asking for tzedakah or he's asking what he deserves?
What do you deserve?
He's asking what he's not asking for tzedakah.
What do you deserve?
Okay. But if a guy doesn't work, and he doesn't do what he's supposed to do, and he comes to the boss and says, pay me, what is he really asking for? He's asking for tzedakah, right? So the Gemara says, only the abire leiv, that strong heart meaning tzadikim, harachekim et tzedakah. It says, tzadikim, when they ask God for something, they're not asking tzedakah. They do everything Hashem wants them to do, and they say, okay, God, im shemaya tishmu, pay up. They're not asking for tzedakah. Most normal people, besides the tzaddikim, do we do everything Hashem wants us to do?
Yeah.
No. Yet we come to Hashem and say, I want this, and this, and this, and this, and this. So what are we asking? Tzedakah. Yeah. Just be realistic. L'cha Hashem atzedakah, how the slichas begin. L'cha Hashem atzedakah, v'lanu b'yishas upon him. Okay. So Jew comes to Hashem and say, listen, truth of the matter is, I really don't deserve it. I'm asking tzedakah. Now, Hashem says, okay, you're asking me for tzedakah. Let me see, do you give tzedakah? Hashem works midah keneged midah, deed for deed, yeah? So that's what the Gemara says, Rabbi Lazar, before he davened, gave tzedakah. Now he comes to Hashem and says, okay, God, I'm asking you for tzedakah. But it's a business investment. Nothing holy. It's a business investment. You come and give tzedakah, and then you come to Hashem and say, okay, listen, look, I just gave tzedakah, now you give me tzedakah. God says, you know what, that makes sense. You give tzedakah, I'll give you tzedakah. A guy doesn't give tzedakah, Hashem says, 1 minute. You don't give, you expect me to give you, why should I give you if you don't give somebody else? Okay? So therefore, tzedakah is a preparation for davening. That's in the simple level. In a deeper level, what is the concept of tzedakah? Tzedakah, the money that you give away to tzedakah, the Rebbe uses this question in Tanya, yochel liknes chaye nafshe. With this tzedakah, yeah? First of all, in order to make money, your whole body is working, right? So you're not only giving tzedakah with your hand, you're giving tzedakah that your whole body worked to make the money, yeah? If that's the case, when I give tzedakah, I'm basically doing the mitzvah with my entire body. That's why it says in Yerushalmi, whenever it says the word mitzvah, it means tzedakah. That's the rule in Yerushalmi. Whenever Yerushalmi just says the word mitzvah, without which mitzvah it is, it's the mitzvah of tzedakah. Why? Because tzedakah is basically a mitzvah I put on tefillin with my hand and head. I light candles with my hand. I walk to shul, I daven with my mouth. Which mitzvah do you do with your whole body? Meaning, you work for it? It's tzedakah. So when a person takes, before davening, and gives away something that he worked hard for, that's refining themselves too. That I understand that every part of my body that worked, it's not for myself only, I'm sharing it with somebody else. That's a preparation to davening. Davening is the workover of the Yetzer Hara, which causes bittul. That's the preparation for learning Torah. Then the learning Torah is proper. Now that you have all these three things, then you can go out into the world and you're safe. The world's not going to affect you because you have the strong foundation of the three pillars that the world stands on. But that's why davening is called Ol Avdei B'chol Levavchem Avedas HaTfila. And why is it Aved of the Lev? Because it's refining of the Nefesh HaBam. The whole of davening is to refine the person's self. Okay, next pasuk. What? Then he says like this, if you listen, if you do what I'm telling you to do, then the pasuk says, I'll provide rain for your land in the proper time. Yeda or Malkush, Yeda the early rains, Malkush are the later rains. Safta the ganecha, and you'll gather your grain. V'tireishcha v'yitzarecha, your wine and your oil. So the Torah says like this, if you do what I tell you to do, I'm going to give you all this stuff. Now, the Erechaim HaKadosh explains this. Okay, we'll start it today. Next week there's no class anyway because of Hanukkah. We'll continue this in Mitzvah Shem in 2 weeks. This is especially difficult according to the Rambam. The Rambam holds, in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam writes that the reward of Mitzvah is not in this world.
Some part here, some part
no,
there?
No, no. Schar mitzvah, the Gemara says, Schar mitzvah b'hai al malekah. The reward for the mitzvah doesn't exist in this world. Especially the Rambam holds. Other Rishonim disagree. But the Rambam says, there's no reward for mitzvahs in this world. So the Rambam himself asks, we find over here, Im shamaya tishmu v'nasati mitar artzichem. I'm going to give you rain, and as everything's going to be good, you know. And also the term b'chukaisi. In b'chukaisi telechu, then it's even a sati gishmecha be'itam. I'll give you the peace. I'll give you the abundance. I'll give you everything good. So Rama says, if there's no reward for mitzvahs in this world, what is that all about?
To make your life easier if you can do no mitzvahs.
Yeah, so this is what Rama says. Yeah. Rama says, it's not the reward of the mitzvah. The reward of the mitzvah is Gan Eden. That's for sure. But Hashem says like this, if I see you trying to do mitzvahs, I'm going to make your life easier
to do
the mitzvahs. And that's not, it's not his reward. Metad artichem, you know, by the way, it's interesting.
Indirect mitzvah.
Geshem, rain, is the root of Gashmiut. So your bracha ruchni is in Gashmius. Why is Gashmius called Gashmius? The root of it is Geshem. Because rain causes all the Gashmiistic abundances. All the Gashmiistic blessings come from Geshem, which is rain. Makes everything grow, makes it, you know. That's Derech Agav. But, so it says like this. This is not a reward. It's not a reward for the mitzvahs that you do. The Rama says that you get Gan Eden. Hashem says, if you keep my mitzvahs, and I see that you're trying to do the mitzvahs, I'm going to make your life easier. I'm going to give you parnasa, I'm going to give you health and wealth and this and that. I'm going to give everything that you need.
This is not a reward?
Huh?
I give you parnasa, I give you...
Yep.
It's a reward.
That's not reward.
What's mean reward?
Because Rambam says the reward for a mitzvah can be physical objects that come and go.
But if you tangible, it's not better?
No. Nope. You rather have a 10-minute reward or a permanent reward?
I want something tangible. I touch it. I enjoy it more.
I know what you really want. Tangible forever.
That's everybody wants it. It was tangible is more enjoyable.
In this world, for the body.
For the body, yeah.
Not for the neshama. What's better for the neshama?
Neshama
doesn't need the cream cake.
Neshama already clean. It doesn't need a mitzvah.
Sure it
does.
Our elders used to say, money is like the dirt on your hand.
That's exactly
what I was saying. Money comes and goes. Gashmiut, that's what the Rambam says, by the way. The Rambam holds, unlike the Ramban, by the way, which is really what Kabbalah holds. Again, according to the Rambam, the ultimate reward is not Chias HaMesim. According to the Rambam, at least in Rambam, the Rambam holds that the ultimate reward is after Chias HaMesim, people are going to die. Ramban argues with the Ramban. And Chassidus and Kabbalah hold like the Ramban. That... the ultimate is Tchias HaMesim, Gashmias. The Rambam says Gashmias cannot be the ultimate, it has to be Ruchnias. So even after Tchias HaMesim, is going to be Ruchnius. It's interesting, Bechal, and we'll finish with this. Nowhere in Rambam, I'm not talking about the Igris of Rambam, because Rambam has a whole Igris Tchias HaMesim, but nowhere in the book of Rambam does he speak about Tchias HaMesim. Nowhere. He speaks about Mashiach, the last two prokim, full about Mashiach. In Paraduma, the Rambam says, the 10th Paraduma Mashiach is going to make. In Ir Miklot, with this Rambam Hilchos Mashiach, the Rambam says that, it says, Ki Yachav Hashem, you're going to have more land, Hashem is going to give you more cities of refuge. The Rambam never speaks about Tchias HaMesim.
Why? What's
the reason? He doesn't. In the book, he doesn't talk about Tchias HaMesim. In the Ani Mamins that the Rambam wrote, the Ani Mamins, the 13th Rambam wrote, in Pirush Mishnayos. Over there, he wants to talk about Tchias HaMesim. The Rambam, in his letters, has a letter called Igeres Tchias HaMesim. But in the book, the Rambam doesn't talk about it, because the Rambam is only talking about the first era up to Tchias HaMesim, that's it. And there, the Rambam writes that the ultimate tzchar can only be in the Shem out of a guf, not in the Shem in a guf.